Patriots head coach Bill Belichick joins us as always on a Patriots Monday. How are you, Coach?
Good, Dale. Michael, Steve, how are you all doing?
Good, doing great.
He's battling a cold, but he's doing okay.
All right.
Don't worry, I didn't shake hands with Vince. He's going to be fine.
Good.
And I'm going nowhere near you, so it's all good.
Dr. Diassi tells you everything's going to be fine. Don't worry.
That's right. Bend over. Everything will be fine. Let's go.
Can I start with my stupid question of the day? Because I don't know football as much as you guys do, but as I watched yesterday's game, am I out of line saying that one of the most important plays of the game was a punt? Because I thought Ryan Allen's effort and subsequent punt and field position change was crucial in that game.
Yeah, I think it was a good play. He did a good job on the ball handling, got the ball up, a lot of distance and good hang time. We had good coverage. Nate and Slate were down there, and so we 65 yards, something like that. It was field position swing, so that was huge. I thought, we got a good, obviously, field position play on Danny's kickoff return. That was another play that was well blocked, well executed. So our special teams gave us some good contributions yesterday, as well as offense and defense. So we had a good complementary game.
Another guy who played well was LeGarrette Blount, limited opportunities, but he came in and looked like the same guy we saw last year. You know, what went into the acquisition of him? Was it a quick decision, or was it just, hey, you hear on Tuesday morning that the Steelers released him and you're just going to play the waiting game and see what happened with him? Or was it a longer conversation? Just the background on how you guys came to reacquire LeGarrette Blount.
We didn't know he was going to be released until he was released. I think it was out through the media prior to the waiver wire, whatever that was last Tuesday. We're 31st in the claiming at that point behind or in front of only Arizona. So whether we claimed him or didn't claim, there's nobody to – we weren't ahead of anybody except Arizona in the claiming. So we decided not to put in a claim. And then if he cleared, then we would talk to him after that. And so we did and re-signed him.
Jonas Gray not playing, was that discipline or game plan or a little bit of both?
We felt what we did was best for the game yesterday, and that's we played the people in all positions the way we felt would give us the best chance.
I know that sometimes the numbers that you read in the media aren't the numbers that you guys have in your own internal breakdown of these games, but I saw a number for LeGarrette Blount. 72 of his 78 yards came after contact. I mean, that's a pretty amazing number, if that's in fact what you guys had as well, because, man, it's hard to bring him down.
Yeah, well, on his two good runs, two long runs, those were, the first play, Stanford had a shot at him right there on the line of scrimmage, and he ran through that tackle, and then Hedebow had a shot at him about 6-7 yards downfield. He ran through that one, then finally Levy ran him down. And then, I'd say those runs he – he made a lot of that yardage on his own, no question about it. Yeah, I thought he ran well. Obviously, the goal line run, it was a one-yard run, but, pushed the pile and got it in there. So, I thought he had a good day. He didn't have a lot of opportunities, but he averaged whatever it was, 6-7 yards a carry. So, yeah, we'll take that.
There was a lot of activity at the end of the game from the Lions. There was a personal foul in there. There was a... an attempt at Zach Moore's legs by Dominic Raiola. What did you think of what the Lions were doing toward the end of that game?
Yeah, I think, it's time to move on.
When the number of passes, passes defended, was it 8 or 9? It seemed like a high number. Is that a high number, 9 passes deflected by defensive backs?
I thought we had our hands on a number of balls yesterday, and the overall quarterback rating was like somewhere around 50 or something like that for Stafford. So, I thought overall we defended, pretty well. I mean, they had a couple, got us on the slip screen early in the game and deep ball, and Johnson caught the one in front of our sideline. It was a great throw and catch. So. They're going to hit a few, but I thought overall we defended well and we were able to knock some balls down. Thought we did a good job jamming the receivers and, forced the quarterback to hold the ball a little bit. There weren't a lot of, wide open guys early in the play, so we gave our rush a chance to affect them.
I know you talked about this during the week leading up to the game, the defensive front for the Detroit Lions, and really their front seven, the pressure they can put on the quarterback. Given that, I thought your offensive line did a really good job keeping, for the most part, your quarterback clean. That's a pretty good group they were playing against.
Yeah, real good, which, you know, I think was, again, it's all about team offense. It's about the offensive line. It's about the receivers having good spacing in the passing game. It was primarily a zone game. We didn't see a lot of man-to-man coverage yesterday like we did against Indianapolis. Tom making quick decisions, getting the ball out. We tried to get some protection help to Sue, who was normally on our right, which meant that Dan Connolly and Nate Solder were singled up a lot of the game over on the left side, especially against Ansaw, who's, one of their better players, better pass rushers. Nate did a real good job on him. I'd say in a lot of cases when Sue came inside, he ended up on Stork. And I thought that, Brian did a real good job on that guy. And so that's a tough matchup. So I thought our line did a good job. But, overall, our time and execution in the passing game, the ball came out pretty quick. And, Tom made some good decisions. And, we made some catch and run plays, not for huge gains, but, enough to keep the chains moving and stay on the field. And, we treated some of those short passes kind of like runs in terms of ball control plays.
Now, the nature of the beast here in talk radio is we usually don't talk about your coordinators unless things are going poorly. In this case, you talk about some of the things you were able to do defensively and some of the schemes that you ran. What would you say some of the strengths are of Matt Patricia, for example, as your defensive coordinator?
Matt's really a smart guy. I mean, engineering guy, so he's pretty smart about a lot of those type of things. He's a very analytical mind. Matt spent a lot of time on the offensive side of the ball, so he understands offense, protections, blocking schemes, just general offensive philosophy. And so when he came over to defense, that was, I think, obviously a transition for him, but on the other hand, it was kind of a strength for him in that he really understood what was going on the other side of the ball. So he has a good understanding of the overall game on both sides. Similar, the reverse of Josh, who started off on defense and then moved over to offense. But I think that training on the other side of the ball helped them. Matt communicates well. He's a really smart guy. He does a good job with all the players, and he's involved with all the groups, the linemen, the linebackers, the DBs, and really can stress the communication, get those guys talking and working with each other well. And as I said, he's smart. He thinks quickly. He has a good analytical mind.
You ever ask him about rocket science? You ever break that down for you?
Yeah, he does. He's pretty good at that, rocket science and motors and different force components and flying and propulsion and all those kind of things. Yeah, it's way over my head, I'm telling you. Bridge building. Yeah, when I have questions about that, I go to him. Explain to me how this bridge concept. Okay, he's got it.
Is your defense faster or more athletic than it's been in the previous few years right now?
Well, Steve, I think it depends a little bit on which group you're talking about. But there are times yesterday where we had, a defensive, kind of one defensive lineman, and then, Ninkovich and Ayers were kind of two defensive ends, and then we had, three linebackers and three defensive backs. So, arguably that's, 1-5-5 or however you want to look at it. I think there were certain groups on the field there where, you probably didn't have a guy that weighed over, 260, 265, something like that. And so, those lighter guys, they are faster. And then there are times when we had, Branch and Vince and Chris Jones on the field. It was a bigger group. So some of it was trying to match up. But, we had opportunities where we can get a lot of speed on the field. I think that's helped us against guys like Stafford and Luck, even Cutler a little bit, guys that could run, scramble. We really didn't have that or do enough of it probably against the Jets, and as we all saw, that was a problem. So I think after the Jet game, we tried to be a little more athletic in some of those situations against those type of quarterbacks.
When I was doing Boston College football with Tom Coughlin, I remember standing in the end zone at Notre Dame the day before a game, and he was just waxing poetic about the history and what it was like. As an historian of the game, do you think of things like that when you go into a place like Lambeau Field?
A little bit, I think. The stadium's been modernized, so it doesn't really look like, you know, an old stadium like, when we played at the University of Illinois, or when we played at even Soldier Field before that got renovated. You know, the way Soldier Field is now, it kind of looks like a pretty modern stadium, I would say. When we were there, what was that, 4 years ago in the snow? But prior to that, you know, you had kind of the original structure, and so. But certainly, there's a lot of tradition, you know, at Lambeau and the Packers. I mean, there's no franchise that has more tradition or more success over the period of their franchise than they do, and that's something that we have a lot of respect for. Certainly, well aware of, and. That's what football is, you know, what they've been able to do over the course of their franchise. So it's, you know, that's impressive.
Curious to hear what you're going to say about this one. Time now for the Coach's Drive of the Week, brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as a benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit MBUSA.com or your nearest dealer today. A couple of impressive drives in this game. Is there one that stood out to you as being the drive of the week?
Well, I mean, I think any time you can go 90-plus yards, drive it down, take it in for a touchdown, that's a great drive because it starts you in bad field position, but you're able to end up with points and take some time off the clock and force their defense to stay out on the field for a while, which was something we definitely want to do in this game. So I'd probably put the 93-yard touchdown drive up there.
Absolutely. Patriots started their...
We win again.
But there we go. Patriots started at their own 7. The drive begins with a 16-yard pass to Julian Edelman. The drive ends with an 8-yard pass from Tom Brady to Tim Wright in the end zone for a touchdown. Tim Wright, Brady joked earlier, all he does is score touchdowns. How would you describe his development from the time he got here to where he is right now in terms of comprehension and knowledge of what you guys are trying to do on offense?
Well, you know, I think it improves every week. But, you know, Tim's he's a really smart guy. And, of course, he was a receiver at Rutgers. And so he has a very good background in the passing game. He really converted to tight end last year in Tampa, his rookie year. But from a passing game standpoint, his instinctiveness of getting open, creating separation, making moves to lose the defenders or beat coverages or find spaces in zone coverage, that's all, you know, pretty good, and that comes naturally to him. I think it's more of just learning our offense, learning some of the adjustments and certain patterns against different defenses that, has been more of an experience thing for him. But, you know, he comes in early, stays late, works hard, does a great job on the show teams, and, you know, all takes advantage of all the opportunities he gets, and he's, you know, continues to improve out there, catches the ball well. He's a big target, you know, for a tight end. He's got good length, good hands. So he's done a good job for us.
A familiar story of a very good team struggles early in the season and then turns it around playing some of the best football in the league. That's you guys and that's Green Bay. What has Green Bay done over the last 7-8 weeks to turn around what they were doing early on in the year?
Well, certainly at home, Steve, they've gotten off to some amazing starts. I think they've outscored their opponents like 66-0 in the first quarter or something ridiculous like that in the last four games, 128-9 at the half. So, you know, these guys are running out the clock, ridiculous, you know, at the end of the second quarter. You know, they've been very explosive, turned the ball over on defense. Obviously, Cobb and Nelson are, you know, big guys to stop offensively along with the quarterback. And you know, they've made plays in the kicking game too, in the return game and field position. So they're hitting on all cylinders, but obviously playing very well at home and playing very fast early in the game. So, you know, we're really going to have to be ready to go. I mean, it's nobody wants to fall behind, but teams are falling behind to them by, you know, 17, 24, 28 points in the first half. I mean, it's just hard to overcome those kind of deficits. So hopefully that we'll be able to stay out of that.
The Bill Belichick Foundation supports football and lacrosse communities in need of funding and assistance. And every once in a while we get to talk about unique raffle opportunities, but this one might be the most unique. You can buy an online raffle ticket for $2 each for a chance to win two luxury suite tickets in your suite here at Gillette Stadium for the game on December 14th against the Dolphins, a chance to meet with you on the field before the game, an overnight stay here at Patriot Place and dinner at Davio's. You can get your tickets at BelichickRaffle.org. That's a pretty unique way of using the gifts that you have to raise some money for some great causes.
Well, you know, it'd be a great opportunity for you know, a couple people to come down and see the game from a little maybe different perspective. And we certainly support and appreciate all the support that we've received from the Patriot fans and that, you know, contributed to this last year, and that we're at our foundation event in August. And you know, we're looking forward to announcing our $100,000 worth of grants and scholarships that we'll be giving out a little bit later this month. So, yeah, it's exciting to raise money, and it's exciting to give it away.
So $100,000 in grants, is that to, you know, high school students?
Yeah, a combination of students and foundations that, you know, support really what we've talked about in our mission statement.
Tickets are $2 each. BelichickRaffle.org is where you can go get them. Man, I think that'd be a heck of a way to spend a weekend, a couple of weeks from now against the Dolphins.
Well, Dale, there's nothing that says media people can't
say that on here, so, you know, you don't know.
So maybe we buy a bunch of tickets and maybe whatever.
Yeah, that's what Bill wants to see, is us out on the field before the game, right?
Hey, Bill, Dale and Michael, hey, how are you?
Well, good luck with it. It's a great cause.
Appreciate it.
I hope you sell some tickets, and thanks for being with us. Good luck next weekend in Green Bay.
All right, great. Thank you. Thanks,
Patriots coach Bill Belichick.